This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
This is about something that lights your fire when nothing else will.
This is the Mark Divine Show. This show, we're going to discover and dive in and discuss what makes the world's most inspirational, compassionate, and resilient leaders so courageous.
Transform the nature and functioning of our own brain for the better.
Go put your virtues in action. Be the best version of yourself.
Life is a practice. Day by day, get wiser and stronger and grow.
How do you understand enough about your own mind and psychology and emotions, and how you develop a reflective awareness practice to actually get in the driver's seat of your own mind?
We go in-depth with people from all walks of life. Martial arts grandmasters, meditative monks, CEOs, military leaders, stoic philosophers, proud survivors, and more. Every episode turns our guests' experience into actionable insights that you can learn from to lead a life filled with compassion and courage.
I started putting all these little tools in my pocket, started to reflect a lot and meditate.
There has to be a balance between movement and rest.
It all starts with us. We cultivate these qualities in ourselves to become a beacon of light for others in the world. Please join us on the journey. The Mark Divine Show. Hoo-yah.
Today's episode brought to you by J.B. Weld. Available, by the way, at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more, and proudly made in the USA. All right, Matt, what are we talking about in this show?
Well, we're going to go through some of Ray Everham's car collection. He's got a handful of cars coming up for sale. No reserve at Meekum.
Indy cars with Mario Andretti.
Really, really cool stuff. And kind of what's going on with the Ford GT incident in Florida.
And first, there's Geico.
Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course. Who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to Geico becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a church bigger than a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling friends. CarCast. I'm Adam Parole. That's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea over there. What do we got going today, man?
Some interesting stuff. I guess we're starting to see some more press events happening. Some cars are getting closer to the release date. Mm-hmm. So I think in the next week or two, you're going to start getting driving impressions of cars, embargoes lifted, two in particular, the new Z and the Ford Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
These weren't press cars like we get the loaners and drive them for a while. These are like the events, like people fly out to Texas and they spend a day with Ford, or Las Vegas and spend a day with Nissan. And they've got a bunch of cars there, and you test it out on the track and on the street and whatever. So I think over the next week or so, we're going to start getting a lot of interesting data on the Lightning and the Z. And although I had to travel for other work, I wasn't able to go to those events. But friends that I've been reaching out to saying both cars are good. They're very excited about both cars. And it turns out the Z, as we knew, was still somewhat based off of the 370Z, but now they're figuring out it's really not that much 370Z under it, and it's going to have the 400 horsepower twin turbo.
Is it a
manual?
Is it a 4 liter, or is it like a 3.5 or 3.7? Or did they bump that displacement up?
So they took it out of the name. So it's the engine that's in the Infiniti Q60.
like 4.4, red, 4.2. Red,
I'm going to say probably 4-liter twin turbo V6, 400 horsepower. Maybe it's 3.5. That's a good question. Well, we'll have to look it up. But manual and automatic transmission options in it, which is kind of interesting. So as that press is coming around, the Toyota Supra said, hey, we figured it out. We're going to do a manual transmission in the Toyota Supra now, which wasn't available with the V6 and the higher horsepower engine, right? Because it was a carryover, a lot of that transmission from BMW. And then Toyota said, I don't know what BMW is going to do, but we're going to do a manual transmission. And maybe, because it's funny, you and I were just at an event and you're like, the Supra's starting to grow on me. You're like, it's starting to kind of grow on me.
Well, I think the car, aesthetically, it's kind of like a woman. It's kind of like you look at it and you go, do I like it? Do I not like it? And you go, I kind of like it. And then you find out that it's got a manual and an engine that's got some displacement and some output and some horsepower and blah, blah, blah. And then you go, I think I like it more.
Yeah.
Versus, and it's like a woman. You got the one woman and, you kind of like her. She kind of looks pretty, but then you find out she's a chain smoker and she hates the Jews. And then all of a sudden it's kind of like, I don't like her as much. So you can kind of move around a little. And the Supra is, it is growing on me, but part of that growth is when they start upping their performance as well. And it is interesting that everyone has just figured out, like, bell-bottom jeans or hip huggers or guys wearing skinny ties. It's just coming back to the manual. But I do think they've figured out what's going on Bring a Trailer. And, like when you look at cars on Bring a Trailer, like you take a look at like my DB9, or DBS, Aston Martin, the ones that are getting the money, it's always six-speed manual,
Yeah.
Or I'll give you probably even
any
better,
modern Ferrari.
Better example, 550 Ferrari, 555, 75. That thing's got a six-speed. It just goes up 10, 15, 20%, maybe more. So I think people are starting to kind of understand that. They're also kind of understanding this is not an everyday driver. I'm not going to be sitting in traffic in this car. I'm going to get it. And so I think the edict now with these kinds of cars that could be considered sort of investment cars, which is get them optioned out, get the six-speed, keep the mileage down on them. And, when the old lady's complaining that I'm spending X amount on a car, I'll go, I get the six-speed, I get it optioned out, and look on Bring a Trailer. When the kids are ready to go to college, we'll be able to turn a sweet profit on this thing.
So the new Z, because I misspoke, I knew it was a round number, and I was trying to figure out why it was just called the Z. It's a 3-liter. And we were saying, oh, they were doing engine size, right? And then they're like, oh, they could call it a 400Z, not on engine size, but based on horsepower.
Right. So just for the lesson for everyone, started with the 240, 2.4, then 260, 2.6, 280, blah, 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 300ZX, 3-liter, and they just went up from there. So it's always been based on displacement. Yeah.
So, and now just be calling it the Z, because also if you think if they were going to call it the 400Z based on the horsepower rating, then they're like, well, then what do you do? Because there's probably going to be some hotter version or a Nismo. And what are they going to do? Call it the 450 or the 465 or the 421 or, so just Z. So it's just Z. So 3-liter twin turbo, it's if dual overhead cam, 400 horsepower, 350 pound-feet of torque. I don't know the full specs on it. I guess we'll get some of that when everybody comes back from Vegas.
I wonder what the sticker is on that car.
So that's a good question. I don't remember what it was going to come in.
I'll buy you a little time.
I think it's going to be in the 40s.
I'm also looking down here that there was a Ford GT crash. I didn't hear
that one. I'll tell you about that.
New Ford GT?
It's new-ish. So, all right. So this is what happened there. Guy goes to Barrett Jackson, Palm Beach. Mm-hmm. Picks up a 2006 Ford GT Gulf Livery Heritage Edition.
So if you're going to pick that up at an auction, it's going to be $575, $625 up. Wow. $725, $704,000
He paid. $704,000
Wow.
Brought it home.
Well, that Gulf livery's added. Well, I guess, you know what? I'm kind of stupid because when you're supposed to argue with me, I'm kind of stupid.
I mean, don't. When stop short.
Here's what I just did. When the four GTs were going for $250, the Heritage ones were going for $325 or $350. You know what I mean? So they added $100,000, maybe $75,000, but they didn't add $100,000 or $75,000. They added a percentage.
Right.
So right. Now that the four GTs are 400, maybe yeah. 425, yeah. 450, I can't just add 100. I have to add a percentage.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is 25% or whatever it is. So that's where you get to 700.
And it seems like these really made a move in the past couple of years. I think it was interesting because people thought they were going to move when the new 4GT came out, mm-hmm. but it wasn't until the restriction lifted and people were allowed to sell the new 4GT at auction. And everything was getting $1 million.
Yeah, it's also a fickle market in that, you know, everyone has a Shelby, a Hertz Rent-A-Racer, a Cobra or whatever, and Carroll Shelby dies. And you go, okay, well, now the artist of the paintings died. This thing's really going to pop. And nothing happens.
Yeah.
It's just nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even after Newman died, I was able to buy Newman cars at a reasonable price. Like it didn't happen. You know, it takes a little while sometimes. Well, in this case, it took the movie Ford v Ferrari
yeah.
to come out. And then that came out, and that's a full 10 years after Shelby's dead, or I don't know, could be 13 years, could be 9 years, or whatever it is. The point is that then bumps it. Or just time,
yeah.
You know, after Shelby passes. So it's like, it's not always linear, you know?
No, you need Bruckheimer to make a movie about the cars.
Right.
Like buy up all your cars and then just start lobbying Jerry Bruckheimer to make a movie.
Yes.
See what happens.
So
the guy buys this Ford GT mm-hmm. in
700
Florida,
plus.
$704,000, holds on to it for a little while. I think the auction was in April. Takes it out for a spin in his neighborhood, hits a palm tree.
Well, look, he's keeping it very Floridian.
The first reported excuse, you could see he wasn't going incredibly fast, right? The car is not torn in half. It didn't burst right. into flames. At $700,000 value, you're going to repair it. I mean, it's always going to have this black cloud above it, this gray kind of cloud above it, but hey, you're going to have to fix it. At first, he said he was unfamiliar with driving a manual transmission. Mm. And he said on the downshift, you know, it got a little squirrely. But
been there.
So my initial reaction was like, I feel bad for this guy. I feel bad for the car.
Mm-hmm.
But then more information starts coming out on the story.
Oh,
right?
Boy.
Is one, now he's saying, and it wasn't on the downshift. It was on the upshift. He said he was still going 35, 40 miles an hour, depending on the crash. Maybe that's true, but it's how quickly did he go from zero to 35 miles an hour, right? You can
right.
get a little squirrely and hit a tree.
Mm-hmm.
No car registration, no insurance, and suspended license he has already.
Mm.
So he absolutely should have known better. This is where arrogance trumps common sense, right?
Going, I still kind of want to party with this guy.
No, this guy seems fun. Yeah. I want to go to his car collection and make fun of him a little bit and have a drink. But
yeah,
he didn't have his cell phone with him, so he crashed the car and he left it and he had to like walk home and make a phone call.
Maybe he'd imbibed a drink or two. I don't know.
But sometimes
when people leave, but on the other hand, didn't have his cell phone.
I don't know if the cops were just feeling bad for him, but they cited him for the suspended license, I think, but mm-hmm. not necessarily for the no insurance. Now, he claims the car is covered under an umbrella policy.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought on that is, not being an insurance expert, but it seems unlikely it would be uncovered. It would be covered in an umbrella policy while he's driving the car. If it was stored in a location, yes. Mm-hmm. If it was being trailered maybe to an event, possibly. But mm-hmm. when he's driving it, seems unlikely. Knowing some of the facts, I think the insurance company would make an argument and say, but you had a suspended license. Why were you driving anyway?
Yeah. That's going to be a tough putt with the insurance company. I don't know what they could fix that car for. Kind of depends on, is the frame bent? I don't even know if the car has a frame, but I mean, it has a front member and blah, blah, blah. I mean, I think you're talking about, it's $50,000 plus, I would say.
He hit the front, engine's in the back, but you're probably looking at body work, some frame damage, front suspension, steering rack. Mm-hmm. It could be $100,000.
Yeah, that's kind of what popped in my head.
Yeah.
So you're driving the Hennessy Velociraptor?
I am. You probably saw it over there.
I saw it over there when I was with Sean, who's a Dodge guy, and he poo-pooed it.
Of course he did.
I told him I liked it.
Yeah, it's big. It's orange. So Hennessy put his spin on the truck. He took the Raptor. He did a 3-inch lift on it, did his bumpers, custom wheels. But what's interesting
now,
is—
Now, did he take the V6 Raptor or the V8 Raptor?
So the V8's not out yet, the Raptor R. That'll be another—
No, but the first Raptor's a V8.
Yeah, and a while ago, I think he did those. This is the latest version. This
so
is
he's, 2022. He's breathing on the V6.
On the V6.
What is the that must be a decent displacement V6, I mean, for a truck.
3.5?
That's it, huh?
Yeah.
Seems interesting that they could get the torque out of that motor for, they must have programmed the turbos or whatever, but it seems interesting that they get enough torque out of a motor that's that small a displacement,
Yeah, 3.5 liter. It is 450 horsepower.
Torque's got to be lower than that.
Yeah.
Chris will look it up. So what did he do to breathe on the 3.5?
Yeah, so this is a good question. So he was able to do an exhaust, an induction, a larger intercooler for the turbo, and a tune.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Keep the same turbos. There's no turbo upgrades. But keep in mind, he's in Texas, so that'd be 93 octane.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure his horsepower numbers are 93, a little less for 91. He gets 558. Stock's 450. He's getting 558.
That's good for not having to open the motor or change the turbos or do any of that. You know what I mean?
And 672 pound feet of torque.
Wow, that's healthy. I wonder what the original pound foot of torque is on that thing. So it's cool. How does it work? You bring it to him and then you give him some cash?
Yeah. So you bring him the donor vehicle and he turns it into a Velociraptor. It gets serial numbered. It gets all installed and dyno tested and delivered back to you with the 3-year, 36,000 mile warranty.
Mm-hmm.
He also did a 3-inch lift in it overall. It's got the 20-inch wheels. I believe this one has the 35-inch tires. And, you get them the package and you get a Raptor that does 0-60 in 4.2 seconds. And I think he ran 1290s.
Wow.
1290s in the quarter mile. But I did drive, which I think Sean would be a fan of. I did drive his Dodge TRX Mammoth, which is 1,000 horsepower.
Mm.
And that one, I think, gets it into the mid 3-second range, 0-60. It was really fast for a truck. And it's just so big, and it's just doesn't even feel like it's going that fast, because you could just see it squat the back down and the weight it's moving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But with the Mammoth, I did notice that around town in the normal mode, it was quicker and you heard the exhaust, but it wasn't like snap your neck kind of quick. Mm-hmm. You have to turn it in sport mode, and that's the new tune that he does that really takes advantage of the full horsepower. So if you have the 93 octane in sport mode, it really kicks in. I'm guessing if he adds a little over 100, call it 108 horsepower on the vehicle in Texas, you're probably somewhere around 80 extra horsepower here in the, on the 91 on our junk.
Switching gears, I'm reading here that our friend Ray Averham is actually selling some of his cars from his car collection. He's the guy, he's a longtime NASCAR guy. It's yeah. a team. I don't know what.
Crew chief,
sorry.
Yeah, NASCAR Hall of Fame.
He does all those TV shows where they put the cars back together and blah, 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 blah. He's got Mario Andretti's championship Indy car from 65 and 66. I think that's kind of a good time for Indy cars. Indy cars are coming on.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny how the market works. You know, first it's street cars. You know, it's Ferrari 275s and Lusos and California Spiders and all that and Gullwings and whatever. And then at some point it gets down to road racing cars and Le Mans and Daytona and all that kind of stuff. And then it gets a little murky for a while. And then it gets into weird Group C rally cars from the 80s, you know? And yeah. then, but in NASCAR still lagging behind. I mean, it's crazy, but then it pops a little with some of the vintage dragsters and stuff like that. Yeah. It's a pretty car. Some of the 60s, 70s dragsters pop up a yeah. little bit. But Indy was always kind of lagging.
Right.
And then Indy kind of popped up.
You thought about, like, what do you do with the car? When can you drive it? When can you race it? When does it qualify for vintage? And then is there enough Indy cars in the vintage class to race it?
You know? Yeah. It just never really – yeah, you're right. But as more people snap them up and as the value goes up, then the classes will open up. And there'll be more and more events that they're welcome to. Although I don't even honestly, you know, car like that where you have sort of the gas tank to your right and to your left and you sit in between the tin cans filled with gas and it's open wheel and there's no cage and blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't even know how much enthusiasm there is for taking those things out. Yeah. Like, honestly, I think
Martin will do it. Martin Lauer will do it.
Yeah, he'll do it. So I just think it's more of it's a piece. It's a collector piece. And it's got Mario Andretti's name on
it.
And
it's back-to-back championship cars, 65 and 66.
And Andretti, we were surprised to find out the other day, is like 84 years old or something. Like, he's not a young guy. He's been at it for a million years.
Yeah.
And I hope he goes another million years. But that's an investment. I don't know what he thinks those cars get. I know winning at Indy is now something, yeah. right?
As a question is, Chris, are there estimates on the Mecum site for any of his cars? I'd be curious to see what's going to, because it's coming up soon. May 13th through the 21st is the auction. 21st.
I knew you knew what you meant.
And he's got a couple of NASCAR racers up for sale. He's got a 72 Monte Carlo, a 74 Mercury Montego, a 74 Dodge Charger, 2001 Dodge Intrepid. And he's got a couple of his cars and hot rods. He's got a Dodge Power Wagon, a Jeep J10 truck.
Now, if you go to Mecum, is this a star, a superstar, or a megastar?
Oh, yeah. And they're all no reserve. All of them are no reserve.
Wow.
His cars.
Wow. I wonder,
estimate, look at that.
1.6 to 1.8.
There you go. The Indy car, 1.6 to 1.8 million for the IndyCar. Well, good for Ray Averham. Hopefully he gets this.
What is, but here's the question is, Chris, is did it win Indy or was it a championship Indy series car? That's the question.
Yeah. Let's see. IndyCar championships in 65 and 66. Rookie of the year at the Indianapolis 500 in 65.
Mm-hmm.
Pole position, 66, Indy 5. I feel like we're already down the notes enough to
it'd be at the very
yeah,
top.
Yeah, it would have been like, yeah, it would have been at the very top. So
if that car wins the Indy 500 with Mario Andretti behind the wheel, you can probably take the 1.6 to 1.8 and just go ahead and make it a 2.6 to 2.8 or whatever. I mean,
I don't see why not. I mean, yeah.
Well, what we always talk about on and off the air is all the points and all the finishes and at all the various tracks around, you know, the world. Like, oh, he won at Riverside in 1966. That's great. You'd give it all up for an Indy 500 win, you know, or in the sports car parlance, he's got a win at Watkins Glen, and then he went to Laguna Seca and he got a win, and then he took a podium at Sonoma. It's like, give it all up for a Daytona overall win, and, or Sebring overall win, or especially a
Le Mans win.
Le Mans overall win. You're right. You'd give it all up.
You're right. You would trade a championship car for probably definitely a Le Mans, probably a Daytona, even maybe a Sebring win. Although a championship car now starts to rank up there, so that's why this is good money. But you're right. You would take four or five Brainerds and Sonoma wins and trade it for one Daytona or certainly Le Mans win.
Well, you'd trade it for a Sebring.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's kind of where we're at now.
Yeah. And we don't really know why. It just sort of started to fall in place that way. Cars have popped up with a significant win without being a championship car.
And then they started
to pull the money.
Chris, what's the 66 car? And then what's the Superbird car? Because in the world of NASCAR and the Monte Carlos and whatever from 1977, like not getting jack squat, the Superbirds are expensive. They always have been.
Right. So you want to know the price of the 69 Dodge Hemi Daytona?
Seems light at 175. Oh, you're looking at the street car.
Yeah, I think that's all he
had. Oh, I thought he had a NASCAR. I thought I saw a NASCAR.
Yeah, that's a replica of that version of it. So,
Okay. Well, let me buy you a second and hit JB Weld. That doesn't mean stop looking up prices. That means I'm going to talk about JB Weld, World's Strongest Bond, a brand that DIYers and pros have trusted for over 50 years. Use their epoxy, super glues, and putty sticks and wraps as well for projects big and small on practically any surface, metal, wood, plastic, glass, ceramics. Keep in your kitchen drawer, toolbox, or wherever. I keep it in my garage. I have it in my shop. Wherever you keep the supplies. Also, the proud owner of Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. So, if you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, look no further than Herculiner at JB Weld. And of course, it's available at jbweld.com, or you can go to Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And it's all proudly made in the US of A. It is the best. It's the gold standard. And again, it's made in the USA. It's JB Weld.
Chris, click on the Eagle again, the 69 Eagle, because this is an interesting car, right? Because we're talking about the races, and this is a 69 Eagle that Dan Gurney drove to second place at the 1969 Indy 500.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they talk about wins at Brainerd and Sonoma. So this exactly is the point. It is the first bullet point here. They're going, hey, what's the coolest thing? That's second place at Indy. Then what's the next coolest thing is a win at Brainerd.
Right. Right, and Sonoma.
Yeah, and so, this car is, what, 800 to a million?
Yeah, they're starting to get their due, and I think Gurney is going to start getting his due as well.
Yeah.
He's always in the conversation amongst the car guys, but, and you know, we're working on the Gurney doc, so Ray might want to hang on to this one until
maybe want to
after we come out with that.
Go, hey, maybe you want to sit on this for another.
Well, you know, it makes a difference. I mean, you know, when we were hanging out with Willie T a couple of weekends ago, you know, he was telling us his phone's ringing off the hook.
He's busier than ever
because it's all up on Netflix, or was, and that got him resurgence.
Listen, Ray's committed to selling this car. We're going to tell you that this doc is coming out. So if you guys are shopping for, you know, if you have the means and you're shopping for this car, you're looking at it, then at a car at no reserve,
mm-hmm.
you know, you might want to take a shot at it. I think this is going to go up.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of love for the indie stuff where they were ignored in the past. I think people are really seeing the kind of aesthetic beauty of them, especially the later 60s, early 70s, and some of the Gurney stuff, and just kind of the paint schemes, and mm-hmm. just the way the seats always had the diamond mm-hmm. quilting in them. And they're just cool pieces, yeah. especially the ones that have the, and I don't know what these cars have, but the, you know, they have the Cosworth V8s oftentimes.
I think the Andretti car is a 4.6 liter V8.
Right, with the overhead cams. Yeah. And, you know, it's not the iron block, iron head, Holley four barrel kind of, you know, hooker headers kind of NASCAR thing. Mm-hmm. This mm-hmm. has got the aluminum heads and the overhead cams and all that. And even the off-y stuff, like the four-cylinder ones with the huge turbos are kind of cool. Like the engines yeah. are a little more next level than you'd see in NASCAR for sure.
Right. So I guess the Andretti car does have that cool Ford engine in it. That's the split with the intakes off the sides and not really in the
yeah,
middle.
Let's
so
see
that's
the
a
Andretti
cool,
car again.
Yes,
yeah.
That's a cool engine too. So now you're starting to look at this car going, oh, 1.6 and 1.8. Now you're starting to get a really cool car with a really cool engine. You remember it was years ago that I think it was Steve Strope did the Mustang with this engine in it, or mm-hmm. you know, similar era engine in it. Yeah,
yeah that's yeah. it. So it's got the bundle of snakes in the middle right. of the V where the intake would normally be, and then the fuel injection on the outside. I mean, it's a cool piece.
It's a cool piece for sure. Yeah, this is a cool car. And then you look at this car and you go, they race this thing at the Indy 500.
Yeah.
It's just nuts, just kind of nuts, which is why now when you see Mario Andretti doing ride-alongs in the tandem Indy car in Long Beach, he's not holding back because he's like, I'm surrounded by so much car. The thing's yeah. huge. It's got huge tires. He's like, what's going to happen?
If he backs it into the wall, he's got someone between him and the wall. reporter from the local newspaper, but it's still – going to count.
On the topic of collectability, I was reading the notes and saw the guys from Trans Am after Laguna Seca with you the other week, they went to Sonoma. Chris Dyson won. The lineup, by the way, Chris Dyson won, then Tommy Giussi, Greg Pickett, and Ken Twaits. I believe Dyson swept it. He led the entire mm-hmm. event. What do you think is going to be the collectability of the modern Trans Am cars? What do you think Dyson's championship car is going to be worth in 30 years?
I don't think it'll be a lot different than, you know, Tommy Kendall's Mustang that
his championship Roush car.
Yeah, the Roush car.
Yeah.
You know, I think it'll follow kind of along that lineage. I think first things first with a car, it's kind of like what we talk about all the time. Like it has to look good.
Mm-hmm.
It just does. I mean, there's certain race cars that really look kick ass and then others that are kind of like, not so much. And I think, you know, I think, like I said, part of the problem with the older NASCAR Winston Cup stuff is, you know, they got the steel rims and the lugs and stuff, and you kind of get up on them and you're like, this doesn't yeah. look that great, you know? So you need the look, and those cars have the look. I mean, they're just good looking race cars.
Yeah.
Everything about them just kind of screams race car. And that Mustang, when you see it in profile,
yeah.
It just looks like all the race car in the world.
It does. And when you pull some of the body panels off, you see how complex it is underneath. You see how much is going on. And then, mm-hmm. yeah, there's going to be a time when these do pop up at auction, and you're just going to look at it like you did with the 94 Cunningham car and go, it's a lot of car for the money.
Oh, yeah. I don't know,
there's a lot between the transmission, that sequential transmission, and the, you know, sort of the uncorked NASCAR engines.
Right.
You know, it's a beast.
Yeah, I think you'd do well with one of those cars. The real question is if it cost, you know, $700,000 to build one of those cars, or I don't know what it costs, but it ain't cheap. Is the person willing to let it go for $225,000 at the end of the season?
Right.
You know,
it's interesting because how Trans Am has evolved a bit over the years. You know, back in Willie's day, you know, it was all about being, you know, the young driver and getting hired on by a team owner, right? Which which we have now with NHRA and NASCAR and Indy and Formula One, but not a lot more beyond that. There's a few others, Formula E and stuff, but a lot of racing has sort of turned into kind of wealthier people owning the team and bringing on a couple of the drivers as well as themselves driving. It's been turning more of a gentleman's sport and a little less of the competitive, you know, the Jack Roush building the team and hiring drivers. So in that respect, it's changed a little bit. So it changes, if I'm going to say this right, it changes the story of the driver, right? Mm-hmm. You don't really get the Willie T. Ribbs story of the young, hungry kid, right? What you got is a different story.
Yeah, like in Senna, he starts off with this team, and then he goes to that team slow, then he goes to a better team, and then he goes to another team, and you're really kind of following Senna versus the car.
And you know, now the story, it's just different. It's not less, it's different. Now a lot of these guys are, you know, they built a business from scratch, and over the years, they went from 2 employees to 200 employees, and you know, and it's just not racing. It could be they built an airline, or they built, you know, a shipping company or something, and then that led to being able to fund their passion for driving. It's just a different story than, you know, does it make as interesting of a documentary? I don't know, kind of. Well, I mean, like the Red Roof Inn guy, you know,
Jim Truman.
You know, he built the company, but he didn't really race, right? I don't know if
he raced.
He did.
Yeah, yeah, he did. He did quite a bit of racing.
Yeah,
he sponsored quite a bit of racing, but he did quite a bit of racing too.
So that's the modern day Ken Thwaites, right? Ken built some businesses. Ken built some businesses, and he's racing cars, and he's doing well, and he's got a couple up and comers on his team, young guys that are young drivers that want to be professional.
Yeah, racers. It's funny in that race, Greg Pickett came in third and Ken came in fourth. And I don't know how old Pickett is, but he was racing with Willie back in the day. And then he raced with me 5 years ago, too, and is like muscle milk Mustang.
Yeah, yeah.
So Pickett's.
Yeah, and apparently another great battle for the third place between Ken and Greg. Like the third place, like we kind of know what Dyson and Tommy are doing, Dyson and Tommy Dreese are doing.
Right.
And they keep battling it out, but it's the competition is really in the third. And then the girl Michelle, who is in it, I think she had something wrong with the car, lost oil pressure. Otherwise, she was in the mix.
Oh, yeah. She was in the red Corvette.
Yeah, and she was in there with them as well. So I'm sure it was a good race.
All right. Well, we'll cut it a little bit short today because schedule. You can go to adamcroll.com. Speaking of Indianapolis, man, Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow, May 6th and 7th, doing 4 shows over the weekend. Do some live pod, do some stand-up there. Huntington Beach Sea Legs, we're doing a live pod there. It's a fun outdoor venue. Go there, tailgate a little, grab a beer. That's May 20th. And then I told Sonny I'm taking him to Denver, so he's into it.
Denver's nice.
That's coming up on we're doing comedy at the Comedy Works, and that's coming up June 24th and 25th. But the 23rd, I'll be speaking at a conference over there, so you can use, I don't know where you go, objectivestanding.org?
Objectivestandard.org.
Oh, standard.
It's the Objective Standard Con. It's a TOS Con.
Oh, okay. Can't read it from here. Anyway, Use the code Adam, get 15% off. Matt,
use the code Corolla, get 15% off.
Oh, I screwed that up again. Use the code Corolla. Sorry, what do you got, Matt?
Give me a follow on the social media at Motorator. I'll post some of the Velociraptor stuff.
So, till next time, Adam Corolla for Matt, the Motorator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course. Who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to GEICO becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent.
Stream the biggest movies and TV shows for free on Pluto TV. Watch movies like Titanic and G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, plus TV shows like CSI and Star Trek The Next Generation. Starting this month, check out the 24/7 Stargate channel exclusively on Pluto TV, plus hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows absolutely free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.